Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Gotta be feeling good about what Mike White's done today. On third and four, he'll look to throw. End zone, Moore! Touchdown, Jets! Mike White! How about it?
Elijah Moore! The 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Allen has time. Intercepted! Sauce Gardner's got it. Breaking away, Garrett Wilson. Wilson, a big play downfield. Wilson still going along the sideline. He's not going to go down. Allen tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning, 62 yards for the touchdown.
Rodgers in trouble again, and he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for another edition of the 2023 Offseason Roundtable with one of my favorite guests, a good friend of mine, who I believe has actually been on every single year of the Roundtable, and this is year number 6. Welcome back, best-selling author of Van Halen Rising and Ted Templeman, a platinum producer's life and music, Mr. Greg Renoff. Greg, what's up, brother?
I'm doing well, especially after that nice introduction. Thanks for having me back, Scott.
Greg, we haven't talked in a while, and particularly we haven't talked about the Jets, so let's take the temperature of where you're at right now with Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. What do you think?
With them in isolation, you know, I think it's always inevitable, especially now with the way Twitter is, that, you know, you read things where people are saying, fire this person, fire that person, especially after the down the stretch to collapse. You know, I'm pretty much sold on those guys. I mean, obviously time will tell, and that could be a completely wrong take, but you know, even if I would say, even if they don't, God forbid, make the playoffs this coming year, I would still be in for another year of those guys. I think they're the best combination we've had since Rex and Tannenbaum, without a doubt. And you know, you really, unlike other GMs and other coaches we've had, you really get a sense that they are both in command of, you know, of the team and in their roles, and they are respected around the league, and they're people that you know, if they got fired, they're going to get hired immediately, unlike some other GMs or other people we've had who have coaches who obviously have not been hired immediately around the league after they've been fired. But you know, it's, look, you lose that many games down the stretch in that fashion, especially when you're at 7 wins at about, you know, more than midpoint of the season, and it looks like you're headed towards a playoff spot. It's not a great look, and there's some holes in the roster that maybe were not apparent to us in August that are now, you know, kind of very clear that there are big, big problems with the roster. But that said, I think we as Jet fans have been more than patient, and we want a playoff win and we want a playoff game. But I look at it to say, yeah, we actually have two guys who are running this organization who are more than competent. I think very skilled at what they do, and you know, we'll see. We just you know, don't have endless patience, but I wouldn't be this, you know, fire Saleh, I thought was a little bit of the worst take I'd seen on Twitter, which is saying a lot.
What'd you think of the decision to move on from Mike LaFleur?
The piece that came out on The Athletic from Zach Rosenblatt, which is really interesting, you know, sort of paints the picture of the LaFleur as a negative light. You know, it's one of these things that you can look at the wide narrative and the wide range of the season and see, obviously, when you have that much trouble scoring touchdowns down the stretch, and there's that little production offensively down the stretch, it's a pretty damning indictment of the offensive coordinator, especially when you look around the league and you see other teams obviously are able to plug in quarterbacks that on paper don't look like they're going to be able to deliver productivity, and they're able to do that day after the season ended. I actually thought that the there may have been other people who would have taken the fall, the quarterback coach, for example, or some other people who were in the building, but not LaFleur necessarily was going to take the fall for the collapse. But it's it's a pretty difficult thing to go back with all the guys in the room again and say, hey, we're gonna run back everyone back exactly the same after you have that really disastrous of a stretch. You know, all sorts of extenuating circumstances. Quarterback gets hurt. You lose Breece Hall, Vera Tucker. We can go through all the things, and you sort of see that there was a lot of adversity the team faced, and a lot of things that obviously had a big effect on what happened on the team. But on the other hand, I don't. You know, it's you can't just stand pat and probably say we'll just do exactly what we did last year and expect that we can be confident that things are going to get better. So you know, I wasn't shocked obviously when he got fired.
Since you brought up Zach Wilson, how surprised are you with what's gone on so far? And do you think he can be salvaged?
Last year, entering entering this past season, you know, in the July, August 2022, I felt like we were in the same sort of situation we were with Darnold after his rookie year, where you saw the upturn in play towards the end of the year. I think a lot of fans were cautiously optimistic that they were going to see development from Wilson. And then, you know, towards the middle of the season, the Pittsburgh game and the Buffalo game, I said to a couple people that I saw, which is sort of a laughable phrase now to consider how bad things have gone for the Jets at quarterback, that they'd sort of maybe had a guy who could maybe this year could develop into a game manager, like just not lose them games, throw a touchdown pass here and there, not make the bad mistakes. But, you know, things just went so bad. I am actually a believer that Zach Wilson will be a competent quarterback in the league for some years. Just based on those flashes we've seen, I just think that it's largely mental. I really, really do. Look into his face. I mean, you could see it at the Jacksonville game. I mean, just absolutely shell-shocked with the booing and everything else. And again, I'm not putting it on the fans, or I'm not putting it on anyone but on Zach Wilson. You got to do better. Everyone faces adversity when you're an NFL quarterback or NFL player. You're going to have that. You have to be able to survive that and thrive in that. And if you can't, then you're not cut out for the job. But I mean, I think whatever you can say about his play, how poor it was, we've seen other instances, for example, with someone like Daniel Jones, who's, had longer stretches of good play his rookie year than Zach Wilson ever did, and maybe showed more. But, to sort of have the resurrection of Daniel Jones this year with less talent around him can kind of show that, I think, with the right coaching and sort of getting someone's mind in the right place can make a difference. And so that said, you know, there's no way you can go into next season, I don't think, with Mike White and Zach Wilson on your roster and say, this is our starting two. We're between these two. You got to bring somebody in who has a better chance of being able to bring this team to a playoff. I mean, you have to, but it could be all just sort of the talking points out of the front office that, oh, we're keeping Zach, cause we all know that's what they, you know, we love Darnold. We love this person. We're going to keep him. They ended up parting ways with him, but I would actually be surprised if they did that, because at this point, the value of him is so low. I mean, I don't know what you would get for him, a fourth round pick. I mean, I would think that would probably be a best case scenario to get that, to have a person, the number two pick. And I read somewhere today that Zach Wilson is the highest paid Jet of all time or something like that, based on his rookie contract. And, you know, for that one season or whatever, you know, so it's a lot of money invested in this person, and it's a high pick to sort of like walk away from that after, 2 years is quite a bit. So I have to imagine he's going to be on the roster with a vet. So it's disappointing, though, massively disappointing. And, that's, again, going back to the question of how he was handled and what was going on. And, you know, clearly there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than we probably knew until the last couple of weeks, especially where some stuff started coming out. Interestingly enough, I saw that Elijah Moore's father is pretty active on Twitter, and he's been making some statements, which is, you know, which I get, you know, you're a parent, whatever, you're going to, you know, I can't really fully mute the parents, I guess, with this type of stuff. And they're going to have things to say, but, you know, it was clear that he, you know, there's a story there, right? At least from the receiver's point of view, Elijah's point of view or whatever. It'd be interesting to hear more about that from what we got from the Rosenblatt piece. But, you know, something's got to change. And that part of the indictment on LaFleur is that you had a number of guys who were disgruntled for one reason or another. And, you know, that's not a recipe for success.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Greg, you mentioned bringing in a veteran. What do you think the Jets should do, and what do you think they're ultimately going to end up doing at quarterback?
Like you, I spent a lot of time on Twitter. You know, it's interesting. It's sort of like the stock rising and falling. Like Gardner Minshew, like 6 weeks ago, his stock was sky high. If you bought Gardner Minshew then, now I don't see any mention of Gardner Minshew anymore. The stock is way down. I don't think you want to part with the draft picks, right? I don't think you want to mortgage the future. You know, you can see what happened in Denver, where you sort of just go all in on one guy and say, this is the guy who's going to get us over the top. And, you know, I think we would be foolish to say that Russell Wilson is done or that he's never going to be able to have good play again. But nonetheless, you can see what ends up happening if they just get less than stellar quarterback play out of Russell Wilson. They are in a really, really bad way now with the contract and with the draft picks they've given away to Seattle to get him. Yeah, the Lamar Jackson factor. You know, it's funny how people never seem to talk about the franchise tag, and I keep adding that to threads and people never respond. I'm like, can he be franchised? So, you know, barring some sort of like complete breakdown of relationship with the team, I mean, I would think they're just going to franchise him and keep him. You know, and among the quarterbacks that are available otherwise, I mean, the Rodgers factor would immediately, I think, you know, bring a person into the locker room who, for whatever his personal characteristics might be, which might not be loved by everybody, I think would be obviously immediately respected and would galvanize and focus the offense in a way that, you know, based on what we've seen from what happened last year, I don't think you're going to have, you know, you wouldn't have the same sort of problems, I wouldn't think. Carr seems to be a good dude from what people say about him. Like, he seems to be a solid person. And his play obviously had been up and down at times, but I think you're the one who's been saying over and over again that, like, Derek Carr's statistics, Derek Carr's performances would make him the number one quarterback in Jets history by far. Or, you know, right up there with Namath. I can't remember what the numbers are. And so I would certainly, if you were gun to my head, who would I want to see them bring in? I'd probably want to see them bring Carr in, you know, based on his age and the way he's played. And, anybody who's been watching the NFL for long enough has seen days where Carr has been unbelievable, right? Unbelievably good. Yes, he threw a lot of interceptions down the stretch last year and blew some games for them. But when you look at their defense of the Raiders, was horrifically bad. And so he's, you know, you can certainly understand why you would suddenly start to take risks with the ball that maybe you wouldn't if you had a defense like we have on the Jets, where you could score 20 points and be confident you're going to be able to win a game. So I would really, really not be in favor of parting with draft picks to be bring in a quarterback, especially a veteran quarterback, where it's, you know, somebody who, look, there's no guarantee, right? It could work great or could, you know, there's like Brissett, there's some other guys, right, that are out there too, that, you know, are lesser quality in theory quarterbacks that might be available, but they got to do something. And, you know, I think the reality is if you don't land a top tier quarterback, you have the potential of really, really missing the window, not just for these guys with, you know, they could get fired next year, meaning the coach and the GM, but also, you know, I don't know where the contracts stand with everything, but like these things don't go on forever. You know, you could have a good defense for 1-2 years and then it evaporates and suddenly it's not the same thing anymore and you've missed the window. So this is the window to really, you know, make that big push. You have to bring in somebody who's going to be able to get them over the hump.
Greg, beyond quarterback, this team has to make some additions and subtractions this offseason. What do you think they should do here in the offseason as far as fixing the holes that you talked about and putting this team in the best position to go into 2023 and finally make the playoffs for the first time since 2010? Of course, we talk about the quarterback, so we'll put that aside for now. But other moves, free agency, the draft, guys they can get rid of to clear up some cap space?
I just say, you know, I watched the Eagles play last night, and you can just see how great their line is, how dominant it is. And, you know, I know that's what Joe Douglas had sort of hoped. And he, you know, it seems like there were some things that just went really, really wrong. You know, Dwayne Brown gets hurt, has a bad shoulder. He never really performed, you know, maybe as well as he would have if he's healthy, even though his age is there. You have the Becton, obviously, a catastrophic injury in camp, which was a whole setback that was really, really, you know, set things on the wrong path. I mean, I really think you've got to build through the offensive line. That was a major problem last year. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think in a vacuum that was the only problem. I don't think if you had great offensive line play that you were going to have great quarterback play. But you could see just how poorly once Elijah Vera Tucker went out and just how the injury started to mount, how they couldn't run the ball particularly. It's just, you know, combined with that with a quarterback who didn't scare anybody. So, you know, that would really be my main. I would love them to go, you know, assuming all things being equal, I would love to see them some draft offensive line first three rounds, get two guys maybe. And you really just try to shore that up and see what else you can do in free agency. You know, maybe there are guys in free agency or who are worth putting a contract on. But you know, it's, I know that the reality is the cap money is not as loose as it was for the Jets as it was last year because of the contract they had. And yeah, they may have to move on from some guys. You know, Whitehead, I was really surprised because Whitehead was really good last year with 2 years ago with Tampa, as I recall. I remember watching a lot of clips of him, and he was really, really great. And so, you know, it would be nice to think that you could be able to go back with someone like him and, you know, be able to let him hold the fort and not have to sink money, big money into safety. But that's, for me, that was just the most damning thing was that you couldn't. And as I mentioned, it's not just one thing being the only factor there, but not being able to run the ball was absolutely, you know, in some ways just incredibly frustrating and just also shocking how they couldn't get 2 yards when you needed it. I mean, that was how bad it was. It just was, and compared to some other teams around the league where you watch and like, you know, they're going to get 2 yards every single time when they need it. It seems like they never have those issues, meaning the teams that are in the playoffs, which explain a lot, you know, and they, you know, so I think that's, to me, that's gotta be priority one because you get Aaron Rodgers back there. And if he's getting pressured, like he was, let's say in the Jet game, we all watched, you know, he's not going to be very good either. No one's good. And you're getting like, you know, guys being pushed up into your face from the, you know, your guard or being pushed right up in your face. No one's going to be good, especially when you're a guy like Rodgers is nowhere near as mobile as he was probably 10 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the priority for me.
Greg, I want to get more into your wheelhouse now for a second and talk a little rock and roll and talk a little bit about writing books because you've written two great books about rock. One was Van Halen Rising, which was about the rise of Van Halen. And then Ted Templeman, who produced a lot of Van Halen's best albums. You wrote a book about him, Ted Templeman, a platinum producer's life and music. And so I was curious, if you were to take a look at the Jets roster right now, and we'll include the front office, we'll include the coaching staff. If you had to go on a tour bus, on a rock tour with a handful of guys from this roster, who would you pick? And also, as an acclaimed author, if I were to go to you and say, Greg, I need you to write a book about somebody involved in the Jets organization right now. So that could be a player, coach, somebody in the front office. Who would you pick? Who would you want to write a book about on this team?
All right, I'll start with the second one first. You know who I really would like to write a book about is Michael Clemens. Mm. You know, he's like this gigantic enigma to me. Really enjoyed his, you know, after he got drafted and he did this interview with the press for about 10 or 15 minutes and talked about how he watched the draft with DeLone. And that was, you know, kind of like already made me curious because how many players, maybe it's a number of guys, but you know, you don't usually hear about too many guys who don't watch it with family or friends. And, you know, that was curious to me. And then he said like his, you know, he was interested in Carl Jung and Plato, I think, or somebody, you know, Seneca and all these Stoic philosophers. So, you know, I would love to sit down with him and talk about his switch where he goes from being a calm, chill guy off the field to a guy who's a total animal on the field. So that would be my choice. I'd love to. So if anyone wants to put the good in word for me, and hopefully that will make Michael Clemens mad. I don't want him mad at me, but I'd love to write a book about Michael Clemens. Tour bus. I mean, I think, you know, I would probably try to do it like by position group. Like what position group would I want to go on the bus with? And, you know, I think I probably would want to go on the tour bus with the with the D line. I think that would be really fun. I mean, I'd love to see the interactions, like I said, between Clemens, who I, you know, always seems to be shying away from the camera whenever the Jets do their little social media bits, and, you know, does it seems to be slightly humorous in the way he approaches the world, and someone who, like, Quinnen, you know, who seems much more lighthearted. So that might be a really fun buddy movie type trip there through the roads of America with those guys. So that would be my tour bus. I would like to get on with the D linemen, get on the bus with those guys, and talk to the grizzled veteran and Nathan Shepard and all these guys, and, you know, really, really find out what makes those guys tick.
Greg, this might be before some people's time, but you and I, I'm sure, both remember the Super Bowl Shuffle music video from the Chicago Bears, the year they won the Super Bowl in 1985. Ted Templeman, who you wrote a book about, it's a great book for anybody who hasn't read it yet. Go ahead and grab it on Amazon or wherever you buy books, or audiobooks available too. Do you think that if the Jets defense ever becomes an elite unit, maybe not as good as that 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl team, but a really good unit, and they're looking to do a music video, do you think Ted Templeman would be able to get something good out of them?
Oh, for sure. We'll get Ted up and moving, get him back in the game and get him out there. Sure. Yeah. I think he would, you know, he's a big Motown fan. Maybe he'd want to do some spoof on Motown with those guys, or if he gets some guys with a horn section going and some guys singing in the back or whatever, and they're nice suits or whatever. But yeah, I think we could definitely do that. And like, you know, I'm all in on any sort of like cheesy Super Bowl videos if we could just get to a Super Bowl.
Sounds like something Woody Johnson might greenlight, because he's been having some fun on his social media lately, or at least whoever he hired to run the social media account's been having fun.
Yeah, that's the big question. Who's got Woody's phone? Is it Woody or somebody else? That's exactly right. We got to crack that mystery too.
So, Greg, speaking of Woody Johnson, let's touch on him real quick before we run. Woody Johnson is back. There have been reports, and there's conflicting information. He got involved in the Mike LaFleur thing. He wasn't quite as involved as people thought. He's going to get heavily involved with the quarterback search. He may not get heavily involved in the quarterback search. Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are on thin ice. If they don't go to the playoffs this year, maybe they're not, because Woody Johnson says there's no playoff mandate. What do you think about Woody Johnson being back? Are you nervous about him meddling? And where are you at with him in general right now as the owner?
We lived through the Chris Johnson era, and, you know, Chris, I don't know, Chris said famously, like, Adam Gase is coaching where football is going, and so that always sticks in my head. You know, I think there's this whole range of, you know, owners. Owners immediately become great owners when they win, and if your team doesn't win, your owner is terrible, and, you know, I think there's more into it than that. I think when you talk to the players and the coaches, they talk about how great the facility is and that, you know, Woody provides everything we possibly have. I've never got the impression that Woody's been cheap on free agents. Like, you know, there's been some other franchises where, you know, in many sports where it's been clear there's been a mandate not to spend and just sort of keep the team mediocre if it has to be, where we're not spending money on free agents. So, you know, I think, you know, Woody gets a lot of flack. It's hard to know. I mean, again, it's hard to know in terms of what his actual role is behind the scene. But, you know, I would say this. I always think it's somewhat amusing to me and somewhat befuddling where people are like, this sort of Woody meddling is like, you know, perplexing to people. And I'm, you know, look, you know, if you own something, you know, you're going to meddle in it. It's sort of like, it's, you're a billionaire and you own a $1 billion piece of property of a company. I mean, you're going to meddle in it. You're not going to just say, I don't do anything. So, you know, whatever his opinions are, I think that's something I really, you know, would love to know too. I think we all would really love the true story, know how much went into that, where Woody stood with LaFleur. You know, I think the more I think about it, I think it's more likely than not that Saleh wasn't gunned to the head, forced to fire his friend. I think it was probably, you know, whatever, there was a conversation or whatever, and that there were votes taken, but that it was ultimately up to Saleh to do what he thought was right. So, you know, I don't think it was that sort of, you know, reaching across the, you know, from the top down to the bottom to fire the coach. But, you know, it's, you know, I think anybody, you, me, anybody who owned the Jets and looked at what happened down the stretch with the offense would be interested in seeing something like that not ever happen again. And, you know, it would be hard for anyone, in my opinion, to sort of look at what Mike LaFleur did in the stretch and say he did a great job. He did an amazing job. I mean, I think there's just a question of whether it was smart to sort of try to reset the system, and whether or not it was just a matter of trying to change some of the people around Zach Wilson and try to figure out what we could do to better support the quarterback. And of course, we need a new wide receiver coach, because Miles Austin is now suspended. So, you know, but yeah, I'm generally a Woody fan. I think, you know, I think he gets a lot of flack for just because the team hasn't won a Super Bowl. I think if he wins a Super Bowl, it's suddenly like, now he's the greatest owner in the world.
Greg, there was a great book called Collision Low Crossers by Nicholas Dowidoff, where Nicholas Dowidoff was granted all access to the 2011 Jets. And if you're a Jets fan or just a football fan and you haven't read it, I can't recommend it enough. Nicholas was a guest on the show. We did a deep dive on 2011 with him. I think there needs to be a sequel, and you should be the author. I want the Jets to grant you an all-access pass so you can go behind the scenes and write about what's going on, because you're a fantastic author, you're a passionate Jets fan, and I'm really glad that you were able to take some time to come on the roundtable and talk with me again this offseason. Greg Renoff, the author of Van Halen Rising, and Ted Templeman, a platinum producer's life and music. Thanks so much for coming on. As always, really appreciate it. For those that want to interact with you on social media and, of course, read Van Halen Rising and your book on Ted Templeman, how can they do all that?
Hey, I'm at Greg Renoff on Twitter. Hit me up. I'm there all the time.
There you go. Make sure you hit up Greg on Twitter, and Amazon or anywhere else where you buy books is where you can get his two books. I highly recommend both of them. I own copies of both. I've read both of them from start to finish. And so if you haven't, you should. Also, you should check out playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Some awesome All 22 breakdowns up on our channel. Visit it and subscribe right now, youtube.com/playlikeajet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there. teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.